I would ask that you would turn with me this morning in your copy of God's Word to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. We are now in chapter 6 of the epistle. For those of you who haven't been with us, we've been working our way through this epistle. And to remind you where we're at, in the first half of the epistle, Paul speaks of the way the triune God brought dead sinners to life through union with Christ Jesus, bringing them together into a glorious temple in His Son. His prayer that concludes that first half is that God would be glorified in the church in Christ Jesus for all ages. Now in this second half, he has turned to the practical applications of that prayer. What it looks like as we are to put sin to death, to put it off, to put on righteous life, to walk as children of light. The specific context where we're at this morning is springing out of the fact that Paul has said that we are not to be drunk with wine, but are to be filled with the Spirit. That we are to be living according to the Spirit. That is seen in the way that we sing, that we worship together, that is seen in the way that we give thanks to God, and it's seen in the way that we submit in the order that God has placed us in different spheres of our lives. So in the last couple of weeks, we have seen the relationships between wives and husbands. Last week, the relationship between children and their fathers especially. We've seen that Paul expects each of these to be part of the worship of God's people. That it is right for children to be sitting in worship with us because Paul is writing to you here in Ephesians. This morning we come to a difficult passage. He's speaking to slaves and he's speaking to masters. And so as we come to this passage, we need to ask his help, that he would guide us and direct us and give us understanding from his word. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge this morning once again that apart from the working of your Holy Spirit, these are but words on a page. But we trust that it is your living and active word. We ask that your Spirit would give us understanding. We trust your word, that you would use it to continue to change our lives, that we as part of your church would bring glory to you in Christ Jesus. Be with our ears as we hear today. Be with my mouth as I speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with the 5th verse. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. At the time when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, Ephesus was part of the Roman Empire. Now, depending on what statistics you use, they vary somewhat. But at the time when Paul was writing this, up to 50 to 60% of the population of the Roman Empire lived as slaves. They were not free men. Now, that slavery varied depending on where you were a slave and who you were a slave for. Some were treated far worse than those slaves that lived in our country. Some were actually upstanding members of the community who were tutors and teachers in the families. They were seen as part of the family. And in fact, we see here in this context that we have three different relationships within what would be seen as the household. That you have both husbands and wives, you have children and parents, you have slaves and their masters. But nonetheless, Paul does something amazing here. He writes 5 verses, and 4 of the verses a majority is addressed to the slave. In the Greek and Roman culture, there are laws concerning slavery, and pretty much everything that's written is always just addressed to the masters. The slaves aren't mentioned in the same way that if we look back the last two sections, nothing's really said to the children, some stuff said to the parents, and nothing really is said to the wives, it's all spoken to the husbands. But Paul turns that on his head and he addresses the slaves. The expectation is that as the church sits in a congregation in Ephesus, some of those sitting there are in slavery. And yet a problem that some would see with this passage is to say, Paul, you don't speak out against the ills of slavery. You don't say, hey, church in Ephesus, get rid of slavery, it's wrong. Paul, you talk about how they're supposed to react and how they're supposed to interact, slaves and masters within the congregation. But we need to understand that Paul is going far beyond the culture in this and the way he is addressing slaves and masters. And what we will see is that the way that he instructs the congregation in Ephesus and the way he instructs us here today really turns culture on its head and will be the undermining of the institution of slavery. And so as John Calvin wrote, even as he was preaching on this passage, he said, we praise God that, even in his days in Geneva, that slavery that was the Roman slavery was gone. We praise God that in our country, the slavery that was here is gone. And yet he says, arguing from the greater to the lesser, if we who do not live as slaves, but mere employees, can see that Paul instructs slaves in this way who are living perhaps in a terrible situation, how much more should we listen to that as employees? And how much more so for employers who are not masters, but who have been entrusted by God with a responsibility for those who work for them? And so, as we look at this passage today, we want to see the idea that this is applicable to us. That although we are not slaves nor masters, we do live in situations of employment, in structures where we have authority over us, or where we have those with authority that we have authority over. And we should take this to heart. But I want you to notice one other thing as we head into this. And this is the overarching principle. If you notice, four of these verses are addressed to slaves. One verse is addressed to masters. But in every single one of the verses, there's somebody who's mentioned. What does he say in verse 5? He says, as to Christ. In verse 6, he says, as bondservants of Christ. In verse 7, he says, as to the Lord. In verse 8, he says, from the Lord. And in verse 9, he says, you have masters, you have your own master who is also in heaven. What we need to understand in looking at this passage is we look at the heart attitudes that are to be ours as employers, employees, as those working for the Lord, is that we are slaves. We are servants. As Paul said in Romans chapter 6, we were born in slavery to sin. And everyone here today is a slave either to sin, or he says if we've been set free from slavery, we're now slaves of Christ. We serve Christ. So in a sense, we can say there's no one here today who's a slave. But in a truer sense, we can say that everyone here is a slave. And so what we need to see this morning is, who are you serving? Who is your master? Paul speaks to those whose master is Christ. And he says, here is how you are to interact. And what we're going to find out is that he gives the slaves a command. He says, be obedient. But then he gives the masters a command in verse 9. He says, do the same things. Now, he's not meaning by that that they are to be obedient, because then you'd have a real confusion where you have everybody's just obedient to everybody and there's no order. But he says in this order, the attitude of your hearts that are described here should be those of both. The slave, the master, the employee, the employer. And so we're going to see these attitudes that he says. First, he says that the obedience or the oversight is to be with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. With respect. With honor. You remember, these are the same words that Paul couples together in Philippians chapter 2 when he speaks of our sanctification. He says we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. He says, in that context, that is how we hold out the word of life in the midst of a crooked and depraved generation. If you were here for Sunday school this morning, we were reminded of the crooked and depraved generation in which we live. Of the way that Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount fly in the face of what our culture says. Paul says, the fact that you live in a respectful way sets you apart. In Philippians 2, he couples that. He also says, do everything without complaining or arguing. That's different than being respectful. I don't know. Have you ever grumbled when somebody's told you what to do? Somebody who has the authority to tell you what to do? Children, have you obeyed your parents and done exactly what they said, but on the inside you were thinking, I don't want to be doing this, and you're kind of muttering to yourself? Do you ever do that? Paul says that's not how it's supposed to be. He says your obedience should be with fear and trembling, respect. Secondly, he speaks of the fact that our obedience should be with sincerity of heart. Sincere. Wholehearted. And he couples that with a negative. He says it's not with eye service as men pleasers. The Lord in His providence knows what He's doing. If I was to be setting an order of worship where I was selecting this morning an Old Testament passage for us to read, to couple with this passage of Scripture, I would have said, let's read Psalm 139. And we as a congregation are just moving through the Psalter, reading a psalm every week, aren't we? And where did the Lord have us this morning? In Psalm 139. See, the danger is that oftentimes we do what we're supposed to do when somebody's watching us. My wife and I were talking this week about when we were children, remembering summer vacation and how both of our mothers were list makers and they would leave us a list and say, here are the things you're supposed to do today while I'm at work. And we had that list. You know, we were talking about how oftentimes what's the thing that happens? You have the list before you and you're watching the clock and you say, all right, she's not home yet. She's not home yet. And then when there's about 15 minutes to go, you go, I got to do this list. And you're running around the house trying to do everything you're supposed to do really fast. You know, that points to something that we are prone to in our hearts. The evil of our hearts is to say, when I'm by myself and nobody's watching, I can do whatever I want. I just need to do what I need to do when somebody's seeing it so I can make them happy. And what that does is it ignores Psalm 139 that says, the Lord is always seeing me. That He knows me. That there is not a single place that I can go to be hidden from His eye. And friends, all too often, don't we live as practical atheists Because when others' eyes are on us, we are careful what we do. But when we are by ourselves, we don't consider the fact that the Lord is always with me, watching me. So Paul says, you are to serve with your whole heart, not to please people, not because people are watching, but because God is your master and He expects your obedience. And then he says, you're doing the will of God from your heart with good will, doing service. So not only is our service to be that of respect, not only is our service to be with wholehearted sincerity, our service should be with joy. Wow. Think about that. Can you see the slave there sitting listening to Paul's words in the church in Ephesus? With joy? With goodwill? We say, Paul, you're just off on a tangent here. And Paul says, now remember, read what Peter says. And remember, Peter says that some of the stuff I write is confusing. But remember what Peter says in 1 Peter. He's talking to slaves too. And he says, slaves, you need to be obedient. You need to serve. Not only when your masters are good, but when they're harsh. You know, we need to watch out here and not say, okay, well, that's great. If my employer treats me right, I'll do these things. No, like he's done with marriage and with children. You know, he doesn't say, wives, submit to your husbands when they're doing exactly what they ought to be doing. He says, no, do it as to the Lord. He doesn't say, wives, love, or husbands, love your wives when they are acting in a way that makes you feel loving towards them. He says, no, you're to love them as Christ loved the church. Remember, Christ loved the church when they were his enemies, when they hated him. He says, children, don't just obey your parents when you feel like it. He says, remember, this is God's law written in stone to honor your father and your mother. He says, slaves, employees, be sincere in your work. But be joyful in your work. You remember Peter then turned and he talked to wives, and he spoke to wives whose husbands seemed to be not believing. And he says, how are you going to win your husbands over? Not through your words necessarily, but through the way that you live your lives in relation to them. And so here, the goodwill, the joy in our service, it's as to the Lord, not to men. I'm serving the Lord, I'm not serving you. But he doesn't stop there. He says, don't worry. The Lord is just. And the Lord is a rewarder of those who seek after him. What does he say? He says, whatever you're doing, maybe your master doesn't appreciate you. Maybe your boss, you have been working so hard. You've been doing just what you were told to do. Everybody else in the office, whenever the boss looks away, just does whatever they want, they're the ones who get the praise. They're the ones who get the promotion. You're just slogging along. And Paul says, the Lord is going to reward what you're doing. And you need to keep that master in mind, no matter what your earthly master says or does. And then he flips it on his head and he says, masters do the same thing. He says, give up threatening. Maybe you're one in the congregation who has people that work for you. Maybe you're just a mom or a dad. The way that you exercise authority is not the exercise of threats. He says, do the same thing. So what should you do? You should demonstrate respect. You should demonstrate sincerity. You should demonstrate joy in your authority. Why? Because you have a master too. You have a master who is in heaven who has no partiality. You know, when we walk through the doors of this church, when you're sitting in the pew, you have a master. And he's going to judge you, each of you. And he judges you not by what degrees you hold. You know, we have a wide range in our congregation. Not by what job you do. He's going to judge you by your relationship with Jesus Christ. And he says your relationship with Jesus Christ is demonstrated by the way you live. He's looking for a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. And part of the way that a life controlled by the Holy Spirit is shown and the way we do our jobs. So maybe this summer you're just a kid who's out of school and you got a mom making a list. Does your heart in service to the Lord say, Mom, I'm going to do that list first? And then if I have time left over, I'm going to go and play. Maybe you're an employee that's working for somebody who just doesn't appreciate you. You're serving the Lord who will and does appreciate you and will reward you. Maybe you have those working for you and you're a little bit frustrated by the way they do their jobs. Well, the Lord says, I'll reward you for the way that you have authority over them. Be faithful to me. Continue to do what you're supposed to do. Friends, there's a little bit of context we're headed into now. And I want us to remember this in coming to the weeks ahead. Because Paul's going to conclude his book speaking about spiritual warfare. Don't miss the fact that the close context of the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in is a battle to live rightly in our families, to live rightly in our employments. So don't think this is easy to do these things. In fact, apart from the Holy Spirit, it is impossible. So how do we go to our jobs this week? We go into them prayerfully. We seek His help. We trust His strength. We look to Him. And when it gets hard, we come back to His Word and we say, Lord, this is Your will. This is what You tell me to do. Help me to do it. And take heart, the will of God is our sanctification. Let's pray. Father, we praise You that You are our Lord, and You are a good Lord. You are a fair and just Lord. You are a gracious and merciful Master, one who pardons all our transgressions. Father, this day I would pray, if there are any in our midst who are still in the slavery of sin, that they would look to Christ to be set free from that slavery. And for those who have been set free from sin, that we would serve righteously as slaves of Christ. that you would strengthen us to do that by the power of your Holy Spirit this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.